From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As you know, yesterday, a mob of pro-Trump extremists rampaged through the U.S. Capitol building, posing for selfies on the floor of the Senate, damaging property, and putting their feet up on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's desk. They were armed, according to Capitol Police, with metal pipes, chemical irritants, and other weapons. It came as the Congress was set to do what's typically a perfunctory act of counting votes from the Electoral College and certifying the winner of the presidential election. Instead, lawmakers were rushed to secure locations. On the House floor, overwhelmed security officers barricaded the door and aimed pistols at holes in the glass panels. When the dust and pepper spray cleared, here's what Illinois senior U.S. Senator Dick Durbin had to say.
What brought this on? Did this mob spring spontaneously from America? No. This mob was invited to come to Washington on this day by this president for one reason, because he knew the Electoral College vote was going to be counted this day. He wanted this mob to disrupt the constitutional process which we are part of. This mob was inspired by a president who cannot accept defeat. The vote we're going to have here is a clear choice of whether we are going to feed the beast of ignorance or we are going to tell the truth to the American people. We saw that beast today roaming the halls. Let's not invite it back.
Durbin's Democratic colleague, U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth from Illinois, talked about the military service that cost her both legs when the helicopter she was piloting was attacked in Iraq, a war she said she did not support, ordered by a president for whom she did not vote.
In 2004, I packed up my rucksack, laced up my boots, and deployed to Iraq, ready to sacrifice whatever was asked of me, all because I loved this nation. Willing to sacrifice my life if needed. I regret that I have no rucksack to pack for my country, no Black Hawk to pilot. Nor am I asking for any grand gesture from my Republican colleagues. All that I'm asking of you is to reflect on the oaths that you have sworn on the damage done to our union today, and on the sacrifices made by those who've given so much to this nation.
Most Illinois Republicans were quick to denounce the violence, but most also stopped short of calling out President Trump for inciting the mob. And two, Congressman Mike Bost and Mary Miller of Southern Illinois still voted with many other House Republicans to challenge the unambiguous, state-approved, court-tested results of the election that declared Joe Biden the winner. Not so, however, Congressman Adam Kinzinger, a Republican from Northern Illinois who's been one of the few members of his party willing to call out the president's lies about the election. This morning, Congressman Kinzinger called for Trump's removal from office.
Section 4 of the 25th Amendment allows a majority of the cabinet and the vice president to assume the duties of the office of presidency until the president is able to himself. It's time to invoke the 25th Amendment and to end this nightmare. We will arise from this, but we cannot forget what led us here. The liars and conspiracy authors are already at it again this morning with false narratives about yesterday's disaster. Here's the truth. The president caused this. The president is unfit, and the president is unwell. And the president must now relinquish control of the executive branch voluntarily or involuntarily.
Joining us now to talk about this is Jonathan Alter. He's a Chicago native, MSNBC analyst, Daily Beast columnist, co-host of SiriusXM's Alter Family Politics. He's also the author of several books, including most recently a biography of Jimmy Carter called His Very Best, Jimmy Carter, A Life. Hello, Jonathan Alter. Welcome back to the 21st. Thanks for making time for us today.
I'm always glad to be on this show, and I'm actually very proud to be an Illinois native. When I listen to our U.S. senators and Congressman Kinzinger, I can't say the same for the two other Republican members of Congress you mentioned who have thrown in their lot with the insurrectionists for reasons that I can explain if you want.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. I mean, I want to come back to that. You've written, I want to start because you've written several books on the history of American politics, on past presidents. And we last had you on a few months ago to discuss your book on Jimmy Carter. You've written several others, including on Barack Obama. Stepping back, how do you think the events of yesterday will be written in future history books?
Well, you know, the darkest days in American history were the Battle of Antietam in the Civil War and 9/11. And I think, will continue to be regarded as the darkest days. But the most disgraceful, shameful day in American history was yesterday. And I don't really think there's any day that is even close. We've never seen anything like this, a president of the United States inciting violence in order to prevent the peaceful transfer of power. This was something that we've seen in banana republics and other countries around the world. The United States has always stood for democracy, representative government, and the peaceful transfer of power ever since John Adams, who was very bitter about his loss to Thomas Jefferson in the election of 1800. And at that time, there was no tradition anywhere in the world, not just in the United States, anywhere in the world of a peaceful transfer of power. And yet Adams did so. And that set a precedent that has kept until our own time. So this is very, very serious stuff. And I don't go quite as far as Ulysses Grant when he said there are only two parties now in America, patriots and traitors. But I think we're kind of in that vicinity. And that if you were on the wrong side of this, and after the Electoral College met, we're still trying in a thoroughly unconstitutional way to overturn the results of this election, you have a lot to answer for. And I think you should leave public life. And so that applies to members of Congress, Miller and Bosch from Illinois. They need to leave public life, not just as Adam Kinzinger said of the president, that he needs to go. And this, by the way, was very impressive since he's a member of the same political party. But those who aided and abetted this insurrection, and that includes two members of the Illinois delegation. So this is not something that we can just brush past and sugarcoat and say, oh, isn't it unfortunate? Most of them were peaceful. Isn't it unfortunate that a few of them got violent and penetrated the Capitol? That's not the issue here. The issue is that we have, unfortunately, a significant number of members of Congress in both the House and the Senate, much smaller in the Senate, who do not believe in democracy. Otherwise, they would not have taken the position that they did. Because as Mitch McConnell said, Lindsey Graham, a number of other Republicans, the election was over. And so if you don't accept those returns, you are not pro-democracy. And there has to be consequences for that.
We asked our texting group about their takeaways from this. And one, Adani and Champagne, wrote in to say, these are white supremacist terrorists, encouraged and supported by every single GOP member. They created this angry, economically anxious, in quotes, group, and the police empowered them and even opened the gates for them to get in. This was a coup and they will try again. Trump should be immediately impeached. Jonathan, as I mentioned, Congressman Kinzinger called for the 25th Amendment. However, he did vote against impeachment last year. He was asked about this last night. He was on Stephen Colbert. He's certainly been making the rounds and said that, well, it's different after the election now, denying the results of an election. What do you think happens next? Is it worth, I mean, we have fewer than 2 weeks now until Joe Biden will be sworn in as the next president. Is it worth pursuing impeachment or removal?
I think it is. Just to go back to the social media comment, I agree that this was domestic terrorism. Terrorism, the definition of it, is using violence to achieve political ends. So these were domestic terrorists. Not everybody in the whole crowd were outside the Capitol, but those who penetrated the Capitol were engaged in terrorism. I'm not sure about the responsibility of the Capitol Police. A lot of them were operating under orders to de-escalate. There's a lot of that to be sorted out. We need a thorough investigation. And mostly I blame the leadership that they weren't prepared for this, because, you know, Trump said, I want you to go there and be wild on January 6th. So they should have had contingency plans in place. It's actually shameful that they didn't. But I'm a little reluctant to blame any individual members of the Capitol Police. In terms of what should happen now, yes. I mean, I think if Vice President Pence doesn't act to begin to invoke the 25th Amendment, and it's not likely that he will unless Trump does something else, which is quite possible. 13 days, a fairly long time. Cuban Missile Crisis was 13 days. So a lot can happen. But I don't think he will invoke the 25th Amendment. And I don't think that they will be able to get a Senate trial completed and Trump removed from office. But I do think the House should approve articles of impeachment. I don't think they will, because apparently they're not going to reconvene until the 19th. So they're going to have to look for other ways of sanctioning this, whether it's censure or prosecution for inciting violence, which is illegal. And there are a number of other illegal things that our president has done recently. As far as Adam Kinzinger, my view of that is better late than never. Okay. He now regrets that apparently that he didn't vote for impeachment. I remember Susan Collins saying ridiculously at the time, well, the president's learned his lesson now after being impeached. We know how true that was. People can, I think, those of us in the public, it's fine to go, you know what, I was for Trump. Now I realize that he's a threat to our system, even though we got some good judges out of him, if you're a conservative. It's fine to, everybody can be redeemed. But if you're in office and you aided and abetted this, you must pay for that with your political career. So Josh Hawley, anybody who is a shareholder in a corporation, their corporate PACs should not give Josh Hawley one, or Ted Cruz or others, one penny. And if your money as a shareholder is going for that, you need to object to that, because that is giving sustenance to those who are hostile to our democracy. And I know this sounds, I've been arguing this since before what happened yesterday, but I think anybody who doubted that these folks do not fundamentally believe in democracy, all they have to do is look at what happened yesterday. There's a lot of work to be done to hold these folks to account. We cannot just move on. That would be a terrible mistake.
Let me ask you. I should remind our listeners we're speaking with Jonathan Alter, and I know you have what we call in radio a hard out at 11:22, and we only have about 3 minutes left. I want to ask the state of our democracy. This morning, you tweeted a photo of Jimmy Carter bruised and battered. Do you think yesterday is the end of something, the beginning of something, the middle of something? Where is American democracy?
I don't know, and it pains me that I'm not confident enough to speculate that we can make our way back. But I am encouraged I was actually calmed and reassured by the ritual of democracy that Democrats and Republicans agreed they needed to complete at 4 a.m. I was covering it on MSNBC, so I was awake, when the vice president brought down the gavel, which confirmed his own defeat. He had to announce his own defeat, as Al Gore did in 2000. So that was a good sign, a reaffirmation of the majesty of our democracy. So we're down, but we're not out. And we have a president who is committed to trying to repair some of this breach. We need legislation to make sure that voter suppression doesn't happen, and we need accountability for those who threatened our democracy. I agree with Joe Biden that when the United States decides it wants to do something, it can really get it done. But that doesn't mean that these folks who, these domestic terrorists of yesterday, are going anywhere. And so we're going to be dealing with this for a long time, unfortunately.
Jonathan Alter is a political analyst with MSNBC. I know you had a late night, or I guess I should say an early morning. I appreciate your making time for us now. His latest book, and you can find at 21stshow.org, our interview with Jonathan Alter on his book, which is called His Very Best, Jimmy Carter, A Life. That was late last year. Jonathan Alter, thank you so much for your time, for being with us today.
Love being with you. Good luck to everybody.
Listeners, there we got so much feedback. We sent our Text the 21st group, which, by the way, you can join by texting the word TALK to 217-803-0730. We asked you how you are processing the news, what happened yesterday, how are you feeling about it. The response was overwhelming. I think at last count we had more than 50 responses. We certainly won't have time to read them all on the show today, but we are trying to gather them up, post them on our website. You can find them at 21stshow.org. Do please check that out. Coming up after a short break, we're going to be talking with author Jason Stanley. His book is called How Fascism Works, The Politics of Us and Them. It came out a couple of years ago. He's also a professor of philosophy at Yale. And I want to ask him that same question. Are we at the end of something or the beginning of something? That's coming up after a short break here on the 21st. Stay with us. We'll be right back.